And you're listening to WBAI. It is 7:31, and you're talking with Dr. Mary Frances Berry, chair of the National Pacifica Foundation, who's fielding questions from WBAI listeners about their concerns surrounding Pacifica. And you're on the air. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I have a couple of questions for Dr. Berry. The first is I'd like to know what kind of diversity exists on the national board. The second is how do we get accountability for the national board if its members are self-selecting? And this is related to the third. If we have a national board member who takes the position that the station should be sold, how do we remove that national board member?
Okay. The national board has a goal that 50% of the board members must be people of color. That's number one. We are at that goal. We're above it, actually. But we do need on the national board to have greater attention to Latinos. We don't have, in my view, we should make a special effort, and we are in that regard, people from the Latino community. And we are, and the Asian American community, but we are working on that, but we do have a goal of 50% of people of color. It's a goal. The other thing is in terms of accountability. As I said, at the present time, most of the people who serve on the board were nominated by local advisory boards. I expect that to continue into the future. And if board members are not accountable, then I would think that the thing to do is to ask your local advisory board to encourage them not to serve a second term or to do what people are doing to me all the time anyway, which is sending me messages and telling me what they think I should do. As far as a board member who takes a position that one does not support, like Mr. Palmer and the selling of the stations. He was, as I said, elected by the local advisory board. We have a rule under the bylaws that you can remove a board member by a two-thirds vote of the board if he's given notice so that he can defend himself. But it has you have to have reasons. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your opinion, somebody thinking that something should be sold is not one of the reasons that you can get rid of them. That's part, we talk about free speech. I guess that's part of free speech.
Okay, we'll go to the next call. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, Bernard White. This is Bertha. How are you?
Okay.
Hi, Dr. Berry.
Hello.
Hi. I was wondering, I'm not going to try and get you to adopt my friend's dingo puppies, but everyone will laugh about that. But I've been trying for a couple of years, and I wrote a proposal, two-page proposal, like 3 or 4 years ago. And Smart Marksman asked me about it, but then he kind of died. As far as diversity, three kinds of shows. One, since I am one, mental health consumer / disability rights. Show. I know this guy, Fred Levine. He's a mental health consumer and a very strong advocate, and he's excited about maybe doing a show. Either me and him, or him and another mental health consumer who's not a lawyer, like Fred Levine is, and do like half the show call-in show and half the show, letting people know what's on the forefront as far as litigation, advocacy, laws passed, new meds, housing opportunities, this, that, and the other. Because, frankly, a lot of BAI listeners are like crazy, and probably so. So how do I hook that up? Or at least, because I send them the thing, and I don't know, they never announce when and who you call in, what extension number, if you want to leave a show idea. Or, because I wrote the thing already and I sent it in and stuff. And now I understand Bernard White is like program director. And I was wondering also, so that's one show idea that I hope gets developed one way or the other. If I'm not doing it, that's fine too. But maybe someone from BAI could hook up with Fred Levine either through email or Bernard White knows me. I'm Rugosa at interport.net. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could email me, Bernard.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's let Dr. Berry answer that. Thank you very much for your call.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say you mentioned Samori, and he is, of course, very much missed by all of us with his great contributions over the years to the cause and to Pacifica. But let me just say that I don't know whether they have a telephone line or something or email or something where people can leave proposal ideas or not, but I would think that stations ought to, and I would hope that, and when I say diversity, I mean not just racial diversity, but I also mean people with disabilities, age, and class diversity also.
And you're on the air.
And she can probably send, couldn't she? I suppose, Bernard, she could send whatever tape she had to you if she hasn't done that already.
She sure can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're at 120 Wall Street, and you know the number, just so you can just call and we'll make arrangements to get it. BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, Dr. Berry, you must be aware, since you're in the New York area, that the local advisory board in this area has unanimously voted and urged you and Lynn Chadwick and the entire board to resign. I'm bring this up to focus on the question of both accountability and, in your case, the conflict of interest as a government employee, federal government employee, and I believe that you are a political appointee to a federal commissionership. Now, your accountability as such is to the people who appointed you, not to the listeners of WBAI, KPFA, and the other stations. I worked recently for 3 years for the federal government, getting a job by competitive examination rather than being appointed. But I know, because I had to sign a conflict of interest agreement, I know that federal employees are particularly those appointed by the Clinton administration, as you are beholden entirely to them and to their policies and to their agendas. And many of us believe that you are, in fact, very loyal to the people who appointed you, not to the listenership of Pacifica radio stations.
You might stay on the line as I addressed your point. First of all, none of what you said applies to me at all.
Why not?
First of all, I am a member of a part-time member of a commission. There are many people who have full-time jobs doing other things, as professors, which I am, business people, all sorts of professions, who serve in a part-time position as a public service on governmental boards, commissions, and other kinds of things. They do it as a public service. They're scattered all over this land. That's what I do. My full-time day job is as a professor. So you're wrong about that. And I haven't signed any conflict of interest or anything, so I don't know what you're talking about. It has nothing to do with me. I just happen to be a part-time appointee who's doing a public service to our nation. As for being loyal to Bill Clinton, if you ask President Clinton, he would tell you that one of the things I did, which made him mad, was when he wouldn't appoint Lonnie Guinier, I went on national television and said he lacks character because he doesn't stick by his friends. And anyone who knows anything about me knows that the first thing I did when Jimmy Carter appointed me to a federal commission was to issue a statement denouncing him for the policy he had toward Haitian refugees and boat people. So that, and anyone who knows me knows anything, and if you don't know it, you can look it up by doing some research if you don't believe me. I have been denouncing and at odds with political officials my entire life when I don't agree with them. So as to who I'm accountable to, first of all, I'm accountable to myself and my God, okay?
Well,
if that's,
that,
you know,
that
that's who I'm accountable to. Secondly, I'm accountable to Pacifica only in that I am willing as a public service to take on this board just as I have taken on other boards and to try to act in conformity with this charter. Now, to get to the other question you said about the LAB, while that LAB may feel that we should resign, there are other people at other stations who support us fully, who are entirely supportive of the mission of Pacifica, and who hope that we will be able to achieve these goals, and we're not going to abandon them, and we hope that the people in New York, having heard what's going on and reading and looking, that they will come to understand what goals are and support them too.
Does the LAB, Dr. Berry, in the Berkeley area, KPFA signal area, support you?
Obviously. I don't know, but I would assume that they don't, since they are people who have been helping to foment the protests, and part of them are people who are suing us for all various frivolous things to try to make us spend more money so they can complain that we're spending money. But there are five Pacifica stations, in case you did not know that.
And you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Berry. One question. I understand, well, first of all, I understand that you do have a lot of responsibilities, so maybe you have not, I don't know, studied and taken a look at the history of the Houston station. I've heard about the history in that station and what it is now in terms of diversity. Can you address that from what you know about the history, maybe in the last 10 years?
All I know about the Houston station is that Garland, who is the station manager down there in the LAB, have all kinds of plans for how they will meet these goals that we have. They have been recently able to, in the last book that we got on the ratings, increase the diversity at that station to 22%. They've been steadily increasing it as they go. They also need to have more public affairs programming on that station. They're aware of that. They had some financial problems, and they've been trying to deal with those. And I think they've been too heavily, this is my view, that they've been too heavily tending toward to music. And they need to have more public affairs. They're aware of that. And the important thing is that they have plans in their strategic plan and are implementing them to deal with these issues. As to what happened before that and before my tenure, I'm sorry, but I'm not aware of it.
Would you do us a favor and study that? Because from what I've heard,
sure.
My dog is acting up. From what I've heard, there were a number of stations there with really representing different parts of the community, and they were done away with. So this is just what I've heard about the history, and I think this is a really important issue, because that would be a good example of, you're talking about growing the audience, if it's done the way it was before. It doesn't sound like that's very productive. So that would be great if you could study it and get back to us on that.
I will study it, and I will. And I do know that they recently were able to increase it to 22%, but I will study it.
And you're on the air.
Yes, hello. My name is Ota, and I just like to say that I appreciate the fact that you are taking the time, and I know you must have a busy schedule, and you sound like a very articulate person. You're laying your argument out very well, and I'm not taking anybody's side, but I got to tell you that most of the sense that's being made seems to be coming from you. The question that I have is, what is the big picture here? What is it that we're trying to do?
Okay, good question. Because I daily have to keep my eyes on the big picture. And I daily have to, when I get bogged down in trying to deal with the crisis and having our gaze averted only to looking at KPFA, which is one station, and only has, as I say, 146,000 people tuning in at one time, and we've got a whole big network here to try to run. I have to keep my eyes on, okay, what can we do to help the stations? You know, at the national level, what the executive director is supposed to do is make sure we have national programming, and to look around at the local stations to see what programs they have that could go national. I think that's really important, because there are some good programs on some of the local stations, and we ought to put them out there for everybody across the network to have. Keeping an eye on, look, where is the station located? Who's listening to it? How can we make more people feel comfortable tuning into it and the messaging, and trying to always keep the staffs at the stations that are not in the KPFA crisis or whatever it is, fired up so that they understand that we're supporting them and that we're still trying to do this. So the prize here, the prize, if we can win, and we can all win together, is to say, we want more people to listen to the social justice message. We want to build more people in the progressive camp. We want to, and I know it's hard because today in American politics, there's so many trends in other directions, but what can we do to increase those who listen to what we enjoy and what we want, and what else should we be doing? Open our ears. I had at one of the stations some young people who came to me and wanted to put some hip-hop on the air, and they were getting some resistance as it's not progressive. But I said, I listen to hip-hop, and some of the messaging there is clearly tuned to the social justice message that Pacifica wants to purvey. And these are young people, and we need to, you know, listen to them and pay attention. So let's keep our eyes on the big picture of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to get across, and not be diverted by these very important fights, but they're not the only thing that's going on the landscape. Otherwise, we can just be consumed and never make any progress at all on our agenda.
The other question I have, if I may, you said something about having people suggest programming.
Right.
Now, are there any training, or is there a format to follow in that case?
We are supposed, one of the commitments Pacifica has is to training people who want to come on the air to be on the air. So the stations, when you get in touch with them with ideas that you have for programming, you should tell them that, you know, you have this idea, if the idea is can be considered, and you would require training, and they do give training to volunteers when they come down to be on the air. That's just one of the things that we do. Maybe you have a programming idea. Think about it.
Okay, we'll go to the next call. BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, thanks for having me. In reference to the governance issue, is it not correct that during your presiding that the change was made to repudiate input of the local boards into the governance process?
Repudiate is not is a loaded word which does not describe what happened. As I sit here this evening, there are meetings with me, whoever's the chair of Pacifica, with the chair of each local advisory board to discuss any issues that they have that they want to resolve or they want to discuss. The chair of the local advisory board, when we have a meeting of the board, which we do several times a year, comes and conveys any concerns and discusses them with the board that any local advisory board has. We have a provision that our executive committee, which acts in between board meetings, must have at least one member from every signal area where we have a station on the executive committee, which is the most powerful committee in the Pacifica. So there are all these different ways. Also, the local advisory boards may still nominate people to be on the governing board. And one of the things we did, we made a change in governance, yes, in February. Last October, we announced, I said to the board, would you like to make a change in the governance to comply with a requirement from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, which gives out money to stations, community stations, that we can't have a governing board that is the same membership as our local advisory board that has people from that. I asked that. That's in the transcript. It's on the website. That's available at the stations. You can verify that. And we had a discussion. And the board members, most of whom came from local advisory boards, that's where they came from, said, yes, we want to make a change. We'll make proposals. We put them out there. And in February, we did change. The only change we made was that there's no automatic right of the local advisory board to be the only people to nominate people to go to the governing board. They can still nominate. But before, they were the only ones who could nominate. Now, keep in mind something else. The local advisory boards are not elected by anybody. They are self-selected, self-appointing. I myself personally am not opposed to elections at any level in Pacifica. I am personally, I don't have any position one way or the other. If people want to have elections of the local advisory board, that's fine. If they want to find a way to propose that we have elections of the governing board, that's fine. I don't care what anybody proposes. I'm willing to consider anything as long as people keep their eyes on the goals. And that's all I ask people to do.
Well, in terms of there's a lot of activity in each station area that is calling for democratization of the governance process. Are you opposed to anything that you might have heard that is being called for? Or are you willing to work with any sense of the democratization process?
I am willing to work with anybody who wants to propose anything, but I think if they're going to propose democratization, they ought to begin with the local advisory boards, which are, as I say, not democratically elected. But I'm not opposed to anything. I'm wide open on this. As long as people agree with me about those three goals that I set out, and that's what they want to work for, I'm willing to talk to them about anything else and support any ideas or listen to any ideas they might have.
Okay. BAI, you're on the air.
Is that me? Is it you?
It's you.
Wow. Good morning, Bernard.
It seems like it.
That's when I hear you.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, Dr. Barry, you were handling yourself marvelously well. I have heard that four of the stations, not one of the California stations, and I don't know which one, but the other four, are characterized by, I believe it's the FCC, as minority stations. Are you mm-hmm. aware of that? And if so, do you know what it means?
Yes, the stations that we have that are characterized as minority stations, by the CPB, not by FCC.
Okay.
That are characterized as minority stations, all that means is that they are stations in an area where there are large minorities, people of color, you know, minorities living, and that they make a special effort to try to meet the needs of those communities. That's all that means.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as the Washington station, as I understand it, and the several times I've been to Washington and tuned it in, is mostly jazz. I don't know that it's all jazz, but it is well over 50% jazz. And I wonder, how does that fit into the diversity of message in order to attract a diverse audience?
Jazz, in our mission in Pacifica, one of the things we do is to try to serve what has been underserved. And throughout Pacifica, jazz is underrepresented, underserved. That's one point. And throughout the country it is. The second thing is that the stations are supposed to meet the needs of their communities, and that is to be responsive to what people in the community think they should be doing and what they're supposed to respond to. And the way they have tested jazz in Washington, jazz seems to be the thing that large numbers of people in their audience want to have, not exclusively. And there used to be a jazz station in Washington, which was a public station, which was bought by somebody and no longer exists, so that there was a vacuum created there. However, that said, there are a large number of public affairs shows on WPFW, which in fact do have a social justice, progressive emphasis. And also, it is my view, and I've said that to the folks at WPFW, that they ought to be open to things like hip-hop and other kinds of things that some of the people have brought to them. But clearly, the audience that is listening to the station and that tunes in and then joins because their listenership is going up, responds to the public affairs programming and to the music that they have on.
Mm-hmm. All right. The one more question for you, and then one for Bernard. How do we get the station manager of VAI to offer reports to the listener on a consistent basis? I think there has not been a report for months. And how do we get the station manager to release something of a financial report? For instance, it was announced over the air, Bernard, around the turn of the year, I guess, that before the station moved to Wall Street, that there was a $204,000 deficit. And there was no further explanation of that. Whether it still exists, I have no idea. So how do we push the station manager to participate with the audience and interact with the audience through listener reports and through sharing financial information? We give the money. Shouldn't we know where it's going? Hello?
Hello, Dr. Barry?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Were you finished with the question? I lost just the sound for a minute.
If I was asking how we can get the station manager to...
Right, I heard that.
Yeah, and then I have a quick question for Bernard.
Okay, the point is that...
And interacting.
Right. The point is that we at the board level had told the executive director that the station managers are supposed to give regular reports to the listeners at a regular time. I didn't know that there weren't regular reports to the listener at a regular time at WBAI. I will, in fact, make sure or at least tell the executive director to consult with the station manager about a report to the listener. But there's supposed to be a report to the listener that takes place at a regular time so that the listeners will know that there will be a report to the listener. That's the answer to that question.
Yeah.
As far as financial reports, there are supposed to be financial reports. The financial reports of Pacifica are public information.
I'm talking about for the AI. Yeah.
So that there should be a report. There should be a report to the listener on a quarterly basis is made to the board, too, which should be available at the station for people to get, which is in writing. And also, the financial report of the station is supposed to be, and of the entire Pacifica, is supposed to be available at each station for anyone who asks for it. If that is not being done, I will check into that to see why it's not being done at WBAI.
It could be, that could be put up on the Pacifica website.
You should have, by the way, ma'am, there should be a public file, it's called, at the station.
Uh-huh.
And the public file should have all this information in it, which means if the public comes in, they can look at it if they want to.
Ah, I didn't know that. Thank
now
you.
Right.
Now, Bernard, just quickie. Dr. Barry mentioned training. Is there such training at the BAI?
Yeah.
Program?
All of the... it's not a training program right now because we just don't have the funds for it. But what happens is that those people who do come up and volunteer wind up getting OJT as they volunteer.
What is OJT?
On the job training.
Oh, those orange juice too.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you very much. And
one thing we might want to point out is that in the broadcasting industry, as you look at radio in general and even TV, there are many people who've been trained at a Pacifica station, including WBAI, who are at other stations.
Yeah. In fact, the person that I rely on in the morning the most, Janice K. Bryant, is a volunteer, and she can run the board as well as I can.
Dr. Barry, this is Valerie Van. This is the general manager of WBAI. We want to thank you very much for being with us again tonight in this continuing dialogue. Some of the issues we will continue to address. The reports to the listener, we will continue to have on a consistent basis. We had them, then we went into some membership drives, and we've had, some other issues here. But they will be done as we've done them for the past 10 years on a regular basis with advance notice. So we thank you again.
All right.
We thank you again.
Thank you. And I was...
Also, I think that...
Yes, Bernard.
Thank you for responding. I think the listeners ought to know that you're coming to us in response to requests by the staff, that you speak to both the staff and the audience, and you have followed through on that. So thank you very much for that.
All right. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much, and good night.
Good night now.
Okay. Thank you. And it's 9:01, and coming up next is the computer show. Stay tuned.
Turning to non-commercial, listener-sponsored community radio.
For news, entertainment, and information.
This is WBAI.
99.5 FM in New York.